live from the List Track Recording Studio. This is Email Marketing Today. Here are your hosts, Ross, Matt, and Brent.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 28 of Email Marketing Today. I'm Brent Schroyer, your host. Also with me here in the studio today is Ross Kramer and Brenda Brophy. Hey guys.
Howdy.
Megan Ouellette, our marketing director here, just released a new white paper entitled Top 20 Mistakes Made by the Email Marketers and How You Can Avoid Them This Holiday Season. So we figured today we just kind of walk through these 20 mistakes and just talk about them. So mistake number one, batch and blast. Oh no, there's that word again.
Well, didn't we cover this one last week?
We pretty much did cover this one last week.
When don't we cover this one?
But exactly. I mean, you know, this is just, you know, everything about email, again, is getting to as close to the one-to-one communication as possible and making that message relevant and getting away from the one-size-fits-all email marketing practice. So, of course, that's, you know, again, we talk about that quite a bit. But mistake number one, batch and blast. Mistake number two, buying lists. And I think this is another topic that we've covered here. You'll see a number of these things. You know, they come up quite often, but you know, it is a mistake that's too often made out there.
Yeah, what's the word? Caveat emptor, buyer beware, right? As far as purchasing lists go, you know, sometimes you're in a situation where you can't get around it, so you've got to work with some type of a publisher or something like that because you're starting. You know, starting from scratch, but the bought lists are surely not a great way to promote this. I know we promoted, I believe, this white paper. Was it today? Did it go out to the DM News white paper of the day?
On Sunday.
So on Sunday it hit, and the DM News has a list, and that's the way we get, you know, our white papers out into the ether. But
in that case, they're doing the send and they're wrapping it in their wrapper. It's branded as the DM News white paper of the day.
That's right.
And you're not, you know, we're not taking this list that without permission and sending to them.
Yeah. And I think, you know, more and more consumers are sort of getting the fact that they need the permission. So this seems to be a mistake that people are making less and less, although it does come up often. You know, the DMA show is coming up mid-October, and you know, if you're there at the List Track booth, every other question will be, do you sell lists? So you know, there you go. Mistake number three.
Poor sign-up experience.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of different best practices around your sign up, you know, making it memorable, you know, putting an example of what to expect, talking about the frequency in which you're going to send, but really letting the user know what to expect is, I think, one of the biggest parts of the sign up experience.
Definitely letting them know that you're not going to share their information
with
others.
That's a good one too.
That's a big one. As well as, you know, good links to privacy policy. And letting them know how easy it is to unsubscribe or stop receiving the messages if they don't find them relevant anymore.
And do a bit of a sexy check. Make sure that your sign up is sexy. You know, is it enticing people to sign up? Are we talking about, you know, exclusive offers? Is it invitations to exclusive events? You know, make it, give them a reason. Make it a sexy reason.
Yeah, sometimes well.
Bring sexy back.
Sometimes you think it's sexy, but you got to put yourself in your customer's seat. And,
yeah, exactly. I think sometimes as a marketer, you're so in the weeds in terms of all the stuff that you know, you're kind of self-imploded. You know, put your customer's hat on.
I think you also have to be careful of how much data you actually collect. I mean, it's important to collect data in order to segment, but you also want to, you know, you don't want to scare people away. By basically going through an entire survey right off the bat.
I was out at a new customer this week, and they asked for fax number on their form, on their initial form. Now, it wasn't required, but there it was. Fax number, just in case.
Every extra thing you add is going to add a little bit more of a reason for them to walk away. You gotta remember that you're trying to get them to open up to you, but not bore them or get them to run away from you.
And if you want to know the exact number, you could always go to Brophy because he could tell you because he had a perfect 800 on his math SAT. So if you wanted to know exactly how many fields it takes to lose a full sign up,
pi squared.
And you know, you just gotta be, you gotta be very careful there. But you always, you have to remember, you can always get the information later. And you can also use dynamic content. So you can always go off of past history, historical data. Once you start to collect actionable data on that user, what emails they open, what links they click on, and use that data as far. And you also have other things like in ListTrack, we have geo-tracking. So if you don't have the specifics on the country, state, even zip code, you can consult the geo-tracking based on the IP address and use that data in order to target based on region.
The other thing that you can do, speaking of not buying lists, is you can do one of the things that our friends out in the Dakotas are doing, Lawrence and Schiller, where they found, again, like they must have contracted with Brophy to figure out how many form fields it took before they started to lose people, but they started to get minimal form fields, first name, last name, email address. Then they appended that with data that they bought. So they bought data based on household income. They bought household income data, and then they used dynamic content to profile people based upon, to send you know, really relevant messaging to people based on household income. So we better keep on moving, Brenner.
Mistake number four, not sending a welcome message.
The most underused tool in a marketer's bag of tricks. And I see that Megan has included the Land of Nod welcome message. I bought my little son Carson the coolest pillow from the Land of Nod. It's a lifesaver, you know, like the life preserver pillows, the red ones with the thing. Yeah, so it's awesome. It's got a hole in the middle of it. So
you have a blue bed, so it looks like he's swimming in it.
Yeah, so it is a blue comforter. So if you've got little kids, check out the Land of Nod.
But I've mentioned this before, but a while back I did kind of my own little study where I went out and subscribed to probably 100 of the top retailers, and I just could not believe the amount of retailers, key players, that are not sending welcome messages.
Yeah, during our abandoned cart study that we're playing around with, I mean, we're signing up for accounts everywhere that we'd go in an effort to get those abandoned cart reachbacks. And rarely was I even getting welcome messages. And people are going to be the most engaged as they ever will
exactly.
be.
Exactly. That's
right
the yeah. That's the thing. That's certainly, and that's why I would encourage you to not even think about kind of your one size fits all welcome message, but think about all the places where you're signing someone up to your list, and target those welcome messages differently. Don't use a one size fit all. You know, really think about each form that you have, each place where you're gathering an email address and how someone's getting onto your list, and really target that welcome message to that source.
That's when they're most engaged.
Yeah. And also, you can consider a welcome series, and I'm going to throw out ListTrack Conductor here, because very easy way in order to set up a welcome series. So someone signs up, and over a number of days, a number of weeks, to gradually introduce that user to your product, to your message with a welcome series.
Mistake number five, maintaining separate lists. So this is a shout out to any ListTrack customers that are listening in that have their accounts all junked up with, you know, tons of different lists.
Yeah.
We see that often, and we really recommend that you try to pare that down to as few lists as possible, and ultimately try to get her down to one list and using profile attributes to be able to segment out who you're speaking to.
Yeah. I mean, there's no real reason to do the separate list unless you want a complete separation in data. If you're talking, if you're an agency and you've got different clients, different businesses that you're doing sends for, there's you know, a reason for separate lists, complete separation of data. But you know, using segmentation, using profiling and segmentation in order to separate those contacts out, I think that's one of the biggest learning curves, is to, you know, get away from the multiple lists. Think of segmentation instead, even if it's just straight Boolean, straight checkboxes to, you know, on off to identify someone as being a specific segment, but using profiling data.
And for ListTrack users, neat new feature is the profile filter templates, so you can build complex filters.
That's right.
Make sure you have them for every time you go to your author page.
Yeah, and that's a great new feature here, not added too long ago. It saves you a lot of time to save out those complex filters so you can reuse them again. And mistake number six, sending separate emails instead of a campaign. And this is really, you know, not thinking of the big picture. not thinking of a, more of a storyline or you know, a series of emails, and instead kind of focusing on individual emails. You really have to kind of think ahead. You know, if you really can bring things together into a, in, into a story, into a thematic campaign, you're going to have a lot more effective messaging in that series of emails.
And the other thing that you can do is you can sort of stem the tide of overmail or, you know, list fatigue and things like that. If you're using something like Conductor and says, okay, well, for everybody that clicks through on this link in this campaign but they didn't buy, follow up with this piece of relevant information. And I think that's one of the ways that you can really stem the tide of list fatigue by doing something like that. We're talking about a paradigm shift here. We realize most people are not implementing these things, but this is the future. It's one of my future trends. From
in the year 2000.
Anyway, we better keep moving before Brent keeps singing.
Mistake number 7, designing HTML emails for web clients, not email clients. This is probably one of the bigger mistakes for someone really kind of starting out in email, not realizing that you really have to kind of take a time machine back in time when you're designing for email clients, unfortunately, just because of the lack of CSS support that is out there. And we have a good webinar on this out on the site. If you go to our resources area, where we really go through the specifics here on designing for the HTML for the email clients rather than for kind of what you're used to with your normal web pages. And mistake number 8, putting important messaging and calls to action below the fold.
This one reminds me of when we did our dynamic content webinar with the Discount Beauty Center client. We were displaying all this great dynamic content stuff, and then I remember being on the webinar, and the little chat box pops up, and somebody that was in on as a, you know, attendee says, "You put the call to action below the fold; it's at the bottom of the message." And we're like, "Ah, disaster!"
But interestingly enough, though, they've changed that up on the Discount Beauty Center creative. That it's still there, but the call to action at the top, or the main message at the top, is there is an offer below. There is a coupon at the bottom, which forces the user to scroll through the content in order to get there. It's kind of the grocery store approach where, you know, they always put the milk at the back of the store so that you have to walk past all these other items and you may want to purchase as you're browsing by.
But make sure that call to action is above the fold, or otherwise you make a loss.
And we're really talking about the top 300 pixels when we're talking about you know, making sure that we're above the fold. That's really what we're kind of our standardization is to 300 pixels.
Mistake number 9, sending people to the wrong landing page.
Ouch.
That's kind of self-explanatory, is it?
Check
not?
Your links. Every single link. Check and double check.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, poor user experiences are, you know, never good. So broken links, broken images, always generally a bad thing.
If you are a ListTrack user, though, and just want to throw this out there, if you realize you've made a mistake on a link and your message just went out the door, you can contact support and we can change that for you. If there's a link that's broken in your message, you know, you have the wrong one in there, we ListTrack support, we can take care of that, we can fix that, we can have it go to a different link. Just want to make sure that that's known. And mistake number 10, not including social links in your email messages. And we've been talking quite a bit about share with your network and these kinds of things here lately.
Yeah, social's not a fad and it's not going away.
My father would like it to go away.
Some of the developers would as well, I think, sometimes.
We did a little test with our last campaign. I wanted to test the efficacy of using the Facebook chiclet versus just saying share on Facebook. Right. And although we didn't have enough clicks to be statistically, you know, confident with the data, we did an A-B split where we said, share this on Facebook, and the other one said, share this on the Facebook icon. So one displayed the icon, one just displayed Facebook in plain text. And the one with the Facebook icon, at least as of few days ago, had more clicks. So it makes sense. Those chiclets that you see, those Facebook icons, I guess they're there for a reason, because more people are clicking through on the icons than just when it says plain old Facebook.
Visual cues.
At least that's what our test showed, and we did not have enough data to be statistically confident. So, Chad White, if you're listening, don't, you know, blast us on Twitter. But that's what we found. Thought we'd share it versus non-sharing.
And mistake number 11, not branding or authenticating your emails. You know, using sender ID, using domain keys or DKIM is just best practice these days. And if you're a ListTrack user, our support staff will help make sure that we have that, we have your authentication in place. If for some reason there is an issue when you do go to send your message out, we have a branding and authentication audit that'll let you know that there's an issue there. If you're seeing a X, a red X on that area, you want to make sure you contact support and get that fixed.
You know, this is one of the things that separates us from, you know, some of the other low-end providers that you can, you know, not that they don't do a fine job, but, you know, we're not a $12 a month solution. And one of the differentiating features is we actually give a darn about your branding and your authentication. So we're not slapping a ListTrack logo at the bottom of your, you know, email and telling people how they can sign up for $12 as well. And the other thing that we're doing is we're making sure that your campaigns are authenticated the way that they should be, using sender ID, SPF, domain keys, etc. And it's literally a phone call or a mouse click away for somebody to help you get that all set up.
And it's really just saying you are who you say you are. And it really helps the ISPs out there to make sure that you're a legit sender and you're not a spammer. And it really kind of helps to set you aside from the spammers that are out there. Mistake number 12, sending too frequently or infrequently. So, you know, this can definitely be a touchy subject, but it really comes down to what your contacts are expecting. You know, setting that expectation, as I talked about earlier, at the subscription level, you know, when you're actually signing up and sticking to that, or even giving your contacts the option, you know, to get a weekly or monthly email and actually give them the option of how often they'd like to receive that message.
Absolutely.
And, you know, sending too infrequently can get you in trouble as well. Brandon, who's our deliverability czar, that seems to be a popular name or title in the news these days, you know, will tell you that, you know, you can sometimes get in just as much trouble not sending.
Absolutely.
As you can sending too much.
Yep.
So, and there's some ways, you know, some ways around that. You see some banter back and forth in terms of the deliverability professionals saying, does a dedicated IP address make sense or does a shared pool make sense? And you've got some people that say, never send through a shared pool. However, if you're an infrequent mailer, it may make sense to send through a shared pool if you can be sure that those other people that you're sending through the shared pool have just as good a reputation as you do and you're not, you know, as... you know, sending it with some unscrupulous parties, but it can make sense. But that's probably for another topic on deliverability day. So mistake
number 13,
failing to test. Yeah. Wow. So we covered this one in the last podcast as well. We kind of really beat it up. So, you know, the merits of testing go well beyond the time that we have to talk about it today. That's for sure.
But for ListTrack users, very easy for you to get in and set up those test segments and then use the filter in order to send your A version, your B version, and the winner to your remainder.
No excuse to not be testing if you're a ListTrack customer. The wizard's built right in.
Mistake number 14, ignoring reports. You know, sometimes I think that you can get data overload and, you know, some especially newer users can be kind of scared of diving into the reports. But there's so many metrics that are there available for you to dive into. And we've talked about this in the podcast before, as well as, you know, a lot of people are looking for what is the industry standard here for this metric, or, you know, what is the baseline here across the industry? And you really have to look at your own metrics. You have to create your own baseline. And the only way to do that is to pay attention to your own metrics and test against that baseline that you've set, rather than kind of be out searching for that magical industry statistic.
Yeah, there's no such thing as too much data, Brent. Never,
never. From the math guy.
You can find something to do with any number, and it's going to help you out in some way or another.
And part of that data could be used for mistake number 15, not re-engaging inactive subscribers. You know, I talked about this, you know, in a little speech that I gave to some local marketers 2 weeks ago. We had the case last year, right after our Email Marketing Days conference, where we talked a lot about engagement, where we looked, we took like all the people on our house list that hadn't opened, read, or clicked through in like a year. And instead of sending them one of our, you know, fuzzy, nice, warm feeling newsletters, we sent them an email that said, sign up for a demo account. That's all it did, was get a demo account. And we got a demo account out of it, you know? So that's amazing, right? They didn't open, read, click through any of our webinars or any invitations or any of the other stuff that we had sent to them. And we had a whole handful of people actually open the message, click through, and get engaged. And so it's a matter of talking to your people differently. So, you know, we talked to so many people are like, oh, yeah. Email works so well, you know, it's great, da 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 da. The rest of the stuff, I know for us, it's tough for us to figure out other stuff that works. You know, the new world web has really fragmented the industry. People aren't going to the regular trade journals anymore to find out what they're, you know, to read up. They're not going out to their traditional websites anymore. You know, they're using Google more often. They're on LinkedIn groups, you know, getting answers. They're asking questions on Twitter.
So they're being social.
Yeah. and so email's still working, but a lot of stuff isn't working. So we're really pushing people to extract more from their email programs, because it's much about doing, you know, much more with less these days. And re-engagement campaigns is one of those ways to do it. And it's pretty simple. It's just about talking differently to the people that aren't paying attention to you.
And again, I'm going to throw this out there for the ListTrack users, but very easy through the filter. We have last open, last read, and last click, and you can just go that based off of that whatever the time frame is that you want to base that off of.
Again, no excuses.
Yep. And I mean, extra big thing there regarding the deliverability. I blogged about it, and it's been industry news and blogged about by many other people, and Twitter and everything else, you know, those social networks that Brent loves. Yahoo and other places are moving to engagement-based filtering. They're going to be building reputation from you as a mailer based on engagement. So if you have a bunch of people that are inactive, you're hurting yourself by continuing to mail to them.
Yeah, they're starting to, the metrics that we can see in our apps like ListTrack, the ISPs are starting to look at those exact same metrics now. Your opens, your clicks, and they're looking at that data. They're even looking at shared data. So they're looking at other people that are in that ISP that have like interests, that have opened and read the same messages, and they're looking for similar usage. So it's pretty interesting what's going on out there.
And then they're going to call your house at dinner time and try to sell you those types of services.
But yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, a couple of years ago, we were just concerned about getting, you know, free out of our content or something like that. You know, it's just all about content. But, you know, we really have had the shift now to true reputation.
So set your phone off hook at dinner time. Carol Bartz may be calling.
Mistake number 16, not sending an abandoned cart email.
All right. Fun. So our fun little program that we've been running, the shopping cart abandonment study, we've been seeing, you know, some great traction with the clients that have been using Conductor to enable shopping cart abandonment programs. And again, this is doing more with less, easy to do. You know, we had a couple of guys out at shop.org this week, and, you know, their reports back was, you know, this is really what the buzz is and what people are talking about it. And it's technology within reach as well. That's the big thing that we're trying to, you know, tell everybody, is it used to cost a lot to do this, and it doesn't cost a lot to do it anymore.
Yeah. And I'd even go beyond just, you know, just the abandoned cart, but any transactional, you're thinking about anywhere where you can, trigger an email series or a message, based off of a collection of that email address, and really concentrating on those triggers and developing out your campaign from that. And ListTrack Conductor, I'm going to put this out there again, you know, ListTrack Conductor makes that very, very easy for you to do. You know, setting up your events, setting up your triggers, and then setting up a conversation based on that. If you want any help, if you're a ListTrack user and you're looking for some help there, you know, reach out to ListTrack support. They can help you out. We also have some webinars coming up here. We'll talk about later on in the show, but we have some ListTrack Conductor webinars where we're going to focus on specific conversation scenarios, specific scenarios that we can work through. So we have some of those coming up here as well.
Good tie-in with mistake number 17, not automating your tasks. So way back in the day when we started ListTrack, like, you know, before the dot-com bomb, we were talking about automating tasks like unsubscribe and subscribe and automated tasks like bounce processing, right? So that's in the Stone Age. We've moved past that as a human race, and now we're talking about automating things like if they clicked this link but didn't take this action on the website, then follow up with this email. Again, all doable. If you're a ListTrack client, it's a matter of going under the authoring tab within the app and turning Conductor on and starting to use the thing, really at no additional cost. So seize the day.
Yeah. And, you know, brainstorm on, you know, things like birthday messages. If you have birthday data and you've never used that before, now's the time. Very easy to set that up and start using that birthday in order to target that contact on that important day of their life.
Yeah. Or contract anniversary or something like that if you happen to be B2B.
So mistake number 18, treating email like a separate channel instead of an integrated piece of your marketing brand.
Or whipping it like a mule. So, you know, I think some of the most effective email campaigns have been the integrated ones. And the other thing I think to think of it for any of the B2B mailers is to think about even mixing plain text messaging with HTML messaging. You know, so much of kind of one track mind that we have is HTML messaging, but sometimes a well-crafted plain text message can be, you know, can be quite effective. But as you know, so can, you know, multi-channel type of stuff and implementing social media into there. So, you know, whole additional world out there in terms of multi-channel and tying email into it.
And number 19, not keeping up with the latest technology and best practices. And this is just a bit of a shout out to the ListTrack resources area, I would say, because we've got so much information out there. If you are looking to expand your knowledge in email marketing, I'd highly suggest going out to the resources area. We've had a webinar series that it's been going for a year now almost, and we've had so many incredible speakers. There's this big knowledge base that's out there, and it's free if you want to get in there and start to learn. And then there's other sources like the EEC, where you can go out and you can get all kinds of the latest news in email marketing and some other best practices as well.
And wrapping it up on mistake number 20, I guess last but not least would be not using an ESP. You know, as an industry, I think we've moved the email marketing world so much further along in the last 10 or 12 years that we've all been, you know, doing this sort of thing from, you know, back in the day when, you know, a lot of folks were just looking at us as kind of whatever legal spammers or whatever, to really changing the perception of the industry, changing the perception of the consumers, that permission, you know, was so important. So that was a huge hurdle that we had to get over. You know, and now we're talking about, you know, the ESPs are almost stepping into the space where we're managing the social influence and you know, managing some of the things that are happening socially. So we're you know, have our tentacles out, you know, even further into the web than just email, because I think it makes, you know, so much sense, because there are conversations. You know, there's email conversations, there's other conversations. So, you know, if you're not doing email yet, you may not be listening to this podcast, you know, but if you aren't, you should be using an ESP.
And I think it even goes beyond. I mean, you know, the tool set itself, of course, we've developed, you know, so many advanced features, dynamic content, list track conductor to do, you know, there's, you can go on and on and on, but it's also the services side of it. And, you know, the experts that we have here in house and that you can talk to at any point in time and they can really share, you know, years worth of email marketing information to help you make sure that you're making the right choices.
Yeah, right on. So that's a recap of our latest white paper. Brent's going to wrap up here with maybe some of the latest events that are happening here. I wanted to put a quick shout out for one thing. It's been around for a while, but the guys at Email Data Source have their alerts similar to a Google alert. These guys are capturing tons and tons of inbound email, and you can actually sign up to get daily alerts on keywords of your choice at alerts.emaildatasource.com. So free service that you may or may not know about. And Brent, what's on the calendar? What's coming up?
So we've got another webinar coming up here, What's Working Now in Email. That's on October 7th from 1 to 2, and that's with Gene Jennings.
Cool.
And if you are interested in List Track Conductor and looking at kind of the certain specific scenarios that you can use with List Track Conductor, we have two webinars coming up here. These I'll actually be doing these webinars on October 1st and 8th at noon. And we're going to be looking at the 12 Days of Christmas example that we talked about in one of our recent podcast here. We're going to look at how you can use List Track Conductor in order to set that up and in order to allow your contacts to opt in to that drip campaign. So List Track Conductor makes it very easy in order to set that automation up, in order to let people opt in and then have those messages scheduled out in a time-based series. So we're going to look at that holiday example. Of course, you could take that throughout the entire year. There's a number of other ways you could use that for your drip campaigns.
Like 12 days of Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, 12 days of July 4th.
Sing!
Etc. My birthday's coming up, 12 days of my birthday. Lots of opportunities. Lots of options. Hey, it's almost the weekend. We ought to sign off.
All right. We will see you all next time. Bye-bye.